20. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Father, thank you for another opportunity today to look into your word. We pray you guide us and instruct us through the workings of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, you'd help us to take the message and apply it to our lives and help us to be what you would have us to be and do what you would have us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There used to be a rap group called the West Side Connection. Now, you might hear me cough a little bit. I still have a little bit of a cough left from my laryngitis a few weeks ago. But there was used to be a rap group by the name of West Side Connection. I'm not even sure if they're still together. But they were based out of Southern California. Now, before I say anything else about rap music, I want you to know I'm not into rap music. It's just not my thing. But the West Side Connection had a popular rap song, and I reluctantly use the word song when talking about rapping either. But anyway, it was a song that was entitled Bow Down. And in this particular song, the West Side Connection raps that that when they come to your town, you ought to bow down. They say that you ought to bow down to them as rappers because they said that they are the hardest rappers around. The West Side Connection also said in their song that if anyone did not bow down to them, they would be crushed and defeated. Now, to me, that sounds more like a threat than it does a song. But in light of what the West Side Connection raps about in their song, Bow Down, I want us this morning to look at what the Bible says about bowing to man. And I guarantee you, it is nothing like what the West Side Connection talks about. The Bible makes it crystal clear who we should and should not bow down to. And this morning, I want to show you two things. First of all, who we should not bow down to. Who we should not bow down to. If you got your Bible open here to Exodus chapter 20, we'll look at verses 1 through 6. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." I want to focus your attention on verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse 1, we read this: "Ye shall make you no idols, no graven images, neither rear ye up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God." Folks, I don't know what else God could say to make it any clearer. God is very displeased when people bow down to these gods of man. And the truth of the matter is that any time we bow down by putting something ahead of God in our life, we become an idolater. And we've got to understand that. And did you know that the United States in which we live is full of idolaters? See, many have the idea that all these idolaters are in the third world countries where they worship gods of wood and stone and metal. But it could be that America has more idolaters than any country on the face of the earth. The United States is full of idolatry. And did you know that the church today is full of idolaters. Many who attend church are idolaters, and they don't even know they are idolaters. You might say, well, Pastor, how can a person be an idolater and not know they're an idolater? Well, the reason they're idolaters and don't realize it is because they don't know the definition of an idolater. The definition of an idolater is a person who puts anything or anyone ahead of God. Anyone who does that is an idolater. He says here in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you can easily recognize these idolaters because anytime it comes to a choice of worshiping the God of the Bible or worshiping the gods of the world, most of the time, if not every time, they choose the gods of the world because they are idolaters. And make no mistake about it, the world today is full of idolaters, and the church today is full of idolaters. They are constantly bowing down to the gods of this world. Now, when it comes to idolatry, we can't help but think of Nebuchadnezzar, who built a large statue of himself, as recorded in Daniel chapter 3. And at the proper time, everyone was to bow down and worship that statue or be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. And at the given time, the majority, the vast majority, did bow down, except for three who refused to bow. And things have not changed much. There is a lot of bowing these days. But we got to remember that idolatry is a sin that God hates. And why does God hate idolatry? It's because God has no equal. And these idolaters, they're making these things not only equal to God, they're making them greater by putting these idols ahead of the living God. But in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, it says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We hear today across the nation about a lot of stealing going on. Some have had their cars stolen. Some have had their money stolen. Some have had their jewelry stolen. We hear of people having their identity stolen. Some people think the Russians stole the election. You know, people are all up in arms about stealing. But let me tell you where most of the stealing in the world today is taking place. Most of the stealing is by these idols that are stealing God's glory. We have Christians today who bow down to the God of sports and they put that ahead of God. We have Christians today bowing down to the God of entertainment and they put that ahead of God. We have Christians today bowing down to the God of money and they put that ahead of God. For many folks, you know, on our money, it says, in God we trust, but for many, that money has become the God they trust. And yet the Bible warns us about that in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But we got Christians bowing down to money. We got Christians today bowing down to popularity, and they put that ahead of God. We got them bowing down to the God of power, and they put that ahead of God, self-power. We've got them bowing down to self and self-gratification. We got them bowing down to the God of pleasure. We got Christians bowing down to the God of man-made religions. We have Christians today bowing down to the LGBTQ movement. They will not speak the truth because they're afraid of the reaction of the LGBTQ movement. They fear the LGBTQ movement more than they fear God. And they won't speak the truth because they're bowing down to the LGBT movement. And then we got people bowing down to politics today. Let me tell you something. It scares me to death to see the number of Christians I've talked to who have all their hope for America in Donald Trump. Now, I voted for Donald Trump, and I hope he does a great job. And I'm going to commit myself to praying for him every day, just like I've done for every president since I became a Christian. But if you think that Donald Trump is the hope for America and is going to solve all the ills of America, you are a fool. You are a fool, because what America needs is not Donald Trump. America needs God. That's what America needs. That's the answer. And we need to be begging God to intervene and do something in our country before it's too late. I hope Donald Trump does a great job as president, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where our hope is. And that's why the Bible tells us in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. But we have people bowing down to all of these false gods, these idols of our day. But we must remember what God says. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And so we clearly see who and what we should not bow down to. But let's spend the rest of our time this morning talking about who we should bow down to. Who we should bow down to. Very simply, God is God all by himself. And there is no other God besides him. God has no equal. The God of the Bible is not like one God in a group of gods. There is only one God, and all the others are false gods. And it infuriates the living God when mankind will take these false gods and make them his equal. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, it asks this question, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And the answer is, you can't compare anything to him, because God has no equal that we can compare to him. You see, for instance, when it comes to basketball, we can compare Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan to see, okay, which one of those guys was the greatest. In baseball, we could compare Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron and discuss who was the greatest. In football, we can compare Tom Brady and maybe Joe Namath and say, okay, which one was the greatest quarterback? In politics, we could compare Ronald Reagan with John F. Kennedy to discuss, okay, which one was the greatest? But when it comes to God, we cannot compare anybody or anything to God. We cannot compare anybody or anything with God, because he is the only one who created this universe. Think about it. He's the only one who can make a brown cow eat green grass, then produce white milk that makes yellow butter. Only God could do that. God is the only one who can make a donkey talk. You're not familiar with that story? Read your Bible. He's the only one that can make an iron axe head float to the top of a body of water and start to swim to shore. You're familiar with that? Read your Bible if you're not. He's the only person who can take a poisonous pot of soup and turn it into some tasty minestrone. Only God can do that. Read it. It's in your Bible. He's the only one who can turn water into wine. He's the only one who can make water come out of a rock. He's the only one who can walk on water like it's a sidewalk and not drown. He's the only one who can heal the sick. He's the only one who can raise the dead. He's the only one who can give sight to the blind. He's the only one that can give hearing to the deaf. He's the only one who can make a crippled man walk. He's the only one who can cause withered limbs to grow. He's the only one who can cast out demons. He's the only one that can cleanse the leper. He's the only one that can feed 5,000 with a few fishes, two fishes, and five little loaves of bread. He's the only only one that can lift a soul out of the miry pit of sin and change that life forever. He's the only one who can make a prostitute pure. He's the only one who can make a drunkard sober. He's the only one who can make a gay man straight. He's the only one that can cause liars to tell the truth. And we could go on and on and on, because the God I'm talking about this morning is totally awesome, and he has no equal whatsoever. Amen. And what a horrible thing it is when these idolaters make their idols more important than the Lord God Almighty. You know, the reason that we should bow down and worship God only is because it's God who woke us up this morning. It's God who keeps our heart pumping and our blood flowing. It is God who blessed us to have food to eat. It is God who gave us clothes to wear. It is God who gave us a shelter over our head. You say, well, no, I worked for those. I worked hard in order to provide for those. Well, let me ask you this. Who gave you that job? And who gave you the ability to do that job? And who gave you the health and strength to do that job? See, God has no equal. When people bow down to these little gods of the world that they worship, they're making these gods to be equal with the living God. And that infuriates the one true and living God. It's why Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if God only... is to be bowed down to and worshiped, then we ought not to bow down to Allah, and we ought not to bow down to Muhammad, and we ought not to bow down to Confucius, and we ought not to bow down to Joseph Smith, and we ought not to bow down to a sport or actors and actresses and singers, and we ought not to bow down to friends or relatives, and we ought not to bow down to a job. We're not to bow down to a priest or a pastor or a rabbi. Why? Because none of these things and none of these people can save you. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We ought to bow down and worship Jesus Christ because he is God, and is he who died on the cross for our sins, and is he who rose from the dead with all power in his hands. It is he alone that can forgive our sins. It is he alone that can give us everlasting life. Nobody else can do that for us. Only Jesus. I titled this sermon this morning, if you noticed in the bulletin, Bowing Down. And there's a lot of bowing these days. And we even see this in the life of many who profess to be saved. We see a lot of bowing in the church today. You say, Pastor, how are Christians bowing? Well, let me just touch on a couple of things. First of all, we see a lot of bowing today when it comes to biblical standards of dress. You know, the Bible clearly teaches us that people are to dress modestly. Modestly. That's the word the Bible uses. But modesty is something that has been thrown out the window by the world. And it has been thrown out by a lot of Christians who are following the fashions of the world. And when it comes down to it, dress standards among many Christians is just the same as the world. When it comes to dress fashion standards, many Christians are bowing to any trend that comes down the pike. Now you say, okay, Pastor, then what should be the standard? Glad you asked. You know, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, where that passage is, it talks about modest apparel. It's addressed to a pastor named Timothy. But it doesn't say in detail what that modesty is. So God leaves it up to the pastor to tell the people, left it up to Pastor Timothy to tell his people, and apparently left it up to Pastor Brian to tell his people. So for what it's worth, this is how it works in my home. Ready? I have four simple principles when it comes to dress. Four simple ones. If it's too low cut, too short, too tight, too bad, you're not wearing that out of my house. Pretty simple. Too low cut, too tight, too short, too bad, you're not wearing that. And but the point is that for many Christians, they no longer have any standards. It's just anything goes. They let the world set their standards for them rather than the Bible's teaching about modesty. And so we see a lot of bowing down by Christians when it comes to biblical standards of dress in our day and age. But then another area, and this really bothers me too, is in the area, they're bowing down in the area of Bible doctrine, especially preachers. I can remember the time when you could not imagine that churches would ever be preaching in a positive way about same-sex marriages, legalization of abortion, gambling, drinking, living together before marriage. But in many churches today, it's like these have become the norms of society, so they don't preach about any of these things. And if they do preach, they preach about it in a positive way. And all I can think is, boy, we've come a long way, baby, that's for sure. But unfortunately, we've come the wrong way, the wrong way. I'll give you an example. There's a preacher named Steve Furtick. He pastors a church called Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and had a sermon on YouTube. Has lots of sermons on YouTube, but he had a sermon on YouTube, and he said this. He said, if you have come to this church to hear doctrine preached, you have come to the wrong place. Guess what? He's right. You're not going to hear any doctrine preached. There's not any good sound Bible doctrine. As a matter of fact, I've listened to his sermons. You'll hear a lot of false doctrine coming from the pulpit of Elevation Church. And just by way of warning, just so that you see what kind of slippery slope Liberty University has gotten themselves on, they're having this guy in on the 25th of January to do a convocation for all the students at Liberty University. They're on a slippery slope, and we need to be praying for them, that's for sure. But we see false doctrine all over the place. Just turn on your TV, folks. No, don't turn on your TV. Better leave it off, probably. You'd be better off. Because you turn these television preachers on, and they're not preaching the Word of God. And it's amazing. They're so ignorant of God's Word that a lot of them don't even recognize that they're not preaching what the Bible teaches. And in some cases, they do recognize it, but they don't care as long as they continue to get the big crowds and the big offerings. False doctrine abounds in our day and age under the guise of Christianity. And yet the Bible still tells the pastor in 1 Timothy 4:6 to nourish people up in the words of faith and sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy 4:13, it says to give attendance to doctrine. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it tells the pastor to labor in the word and doctrine. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so we have Christians today who are bowing down to the standards of the world. And we have preachers in our day bowing down to the false doctrines of our day in order to make a name for themselves. And we wonder, where are the Bible preachers that should be saying, we are not going to bow down to the gods of the false doctrines of the day. We're going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and refuse to bow. We're going to be true to God and His Word. And you wonder, where are the Christians in the pews that should be saying, we're not going to bow down to these gods either. We're not going to allow our church to be a church of idolaters. You see, there's a lot of bowing these days. But the Bible is clear that we should not bow down to the world and its standards, but we should bow down to God and His Word. In Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." The truth is, every Christian is bowing to something or someone. And I hope and pray, as you examine your life, that you are bowing to the God of the Bible and not the little puny gods of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today. And I trust that you would challenge us with these words to stand up for what is right and true and holy and godly. Help us to live the kind of life where we will shine bright for you so that people can clearly see the difference that you make in our lives. Lord, help us to apply these principles to ourselves. Lord, help us not to just accept the standards of the world as our standards, but help us, Lord, to accept biblical standards for our lives. And help us to be true to you. Help us to be true to your word. Help us to be true to sound doctrine. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of Christian you would have us to be. Lord, we look around us and it looks sometimes like the world has gone crazy, but not just the world, but sometimes it looks like Christianity's gone crazy. But we thank you, Lord, that your word is still true. And as we study it and read it and apply it to our lives, we can have your blessing upon us. Help us, Lord, to be true like we're instructed in the word of God. Help us not to have any other gods before you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that message ought to be real popular when it goes on the website this afternoon, huh?